time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it.
All about control,
and if you can take it.
All about your debt,
and if you can pay it.
It's all about pain,
and who's gonna make it.
I am the game,
you don't wanna play me.
I am control,
no way you can shake me.
I am heavy debt,
no way you can pay me.
I am the pain,
and I know you can't take me.
Look over your shoulder,
ready to run
like a cleaning bitch
from a smoking gun.
I am the game,
and I made you
some TFA. Damn, what is up? What is happening? We are back. Discussing our top wide receivers for the 2023 NFL draft. The NFL draft is a week away at this point, exactly a week from today. So we are looking forward to that in Kansas City. So I don't know, a lot of people ask me if I plan on going. I probably am not going to go. It just seems like too much work. Like it's going to be packed. There's going to be tons of people down at Union Station, which is not far from me. It's like 20 minutes probably for me, downtown is. And so, but I know there's going to be so many people there. People are going to be getting drunk. Like, it's just not for me. Like, I'd rather, much rather just sit at home and watch it, you know, than go downtown and deal with all that madness. Like, if I was in my 20s, I'd probably be about that live. Now, no. So.
It sounds fun in theory. But you're right. Like, you get down there, just elbow to elbow with people, surrounded. Like, that's the same way for me with just, like, sporting events in general. Right, like why would I stay at a game when I can just sit on my couch, just eat what I want, drink what I want, not worry about anything, just be comfortable?
I feel the exact same way. And the NFL draft, I think first of all, like, depending on where you're at, like where you're, like, you may not even be able to see the picks that are being made. And, like, it's not like on TV where we all see everybody come up and handshake and, like, all this other stuff. So it's really like oh, who's picked? Oh, okay, he's picked. All right, now let's just stand here for a while and let's wait for another 10 minutes for another pick happens. Like, there's not a lot. I feel like live it just wouldn't be the same. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, especially that first night when, like, there's 15 minutes on the clock and each team is taking 15 minutes for every single pick.
Yeah. So for me, I'm just like, yeah, I'll just watch your phone. You know, so yeah, that's what I plan on doing. So anyways, let's just get into it. Let's talk about these wide receivers. I can say my feelings have changed on some of these guys over the time that was since, you know, we've last kind of spoke about these guys. It was pre-combine the last time we kind of talked through this. So like my top five, it still consists of the same guys, a little bit slightly different order. You know, there for a while, I was super high on Quentin Johnson. I still am, but I now have conceded JSN, I think, is the winner of my number one spot. I just think he's the most complete wide receiver in this class. Like, yes, there's red flags to him. And I think that's something that we're going to talk about with every one of these wide receivers. All of them have their issues, right? Like, there's not this just elite wide receiver. I love JSN and I think he has a high ceiling, but I don't think that he has like Jamar Chase ceiling, right? I don't Justin Jefferson type ceiling. Like, I think he's much more, for me, it sounds like what NFL teams are viewing him as is kind of that big slot wide receiver. I think he can win on the outside, but even at, you know, Ohio State, he was somebody who played almost primarily from the slot. I think he tested really well. His speed wasn't necessarily at least his straight line 40 speed wasn't anything, but everything else, his three cone, all that stuff was absolutely off the charts, which is why he has a 99th percentile agility score. He had a great breakout age. You know, he really went off. He has that 1 year of big production in 2021 last year. I think he played like 60 snaps, but overall, I think this JSN kind of checks all the boxes or the most boxes compared to all these wide receivers. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, he's number one for me. And in a tier of his own, for me personally, you kind of hit on everything. Great route runner, elite agility skills. I don't really care about his 40 because this is what I think a lot of people have to like keep in mind with some of these prospects is like, if they don't have great 40s, like this is why I like watching some of these guys to kind of see like, how do they win at college? How are they, you know, racking up all of their stats and everything else? JSN wasn't a burner. So like the 40 time didn't really, didn't really bother me, but his route running and those agility drills absolutely match up. Best route runner in his class for me. I think he's going to be that slot like you were mentioning, but it doesn't really matter, right? Like, as long as he gets the volume, like, it's not going to be that big of a deal. We've seen guys like Keenan Allen.
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp, Jarvis Landry. Like, we've seen slot receivers, as long as they get the volume, it's not going to be a big deal. So JSN is numero uno in this class.
So a little behind the scenes, we have not talked at all really about what our rankings are. So we have no idea.
Not at all.
We'll kind of go through this and kind of figure out from there. I could say I still have Quinn Johnson at two. There are certainly red flags with him. And I think that he might be, of the top five guys, he might be the most boom or bust option of these guys, right? Because even though he is 6'3", 208, I think if you really, watch him at all and see what what he's about, he might play the smallest of any wide receiver that's big. The way he wins, he's not a great contested catch guy at all. He only had 8 contested catches this past season. For a player his size, that is somewhat of a problem for him.
Very
he tends
odd.
To disappear at times, but he also, I think he showed really well in the national title game. I think that helped him as well. But, I mean, because really, I mean, when you talk about him, it's almost like if you didn't talk about how his size, like, because he is a great after-the-catch guy. Like, what he could, his after-the-catch skills are very, very good. I don't think he's quite the route runner of some of these other guys. He could be more polished. He did, but they also didn't ask him to do a lot of different routes as well. So he didn't really have a refined route tree. But his just pure athleticism is definitely there. 98th percentile burst score. He crushed the broad vert. He ranks 39th all time out of 1,097 wide receivers in terms of athleticism. So that is all there. But he just kind of disappears at times, and like, he struggles against press coverage, which is going to be a problem considering what NFL teams are going to ask him to do. But at the same time, his ceiling is as high as anybody in this class. And if he can be developed correctly, like, he could end up being the player with the highest ceiling in this class. And so there's another player we'll talk about a little bit later that I think might be a little bit better option than maybe he is, or that's going to be not cost people as much. But Quinn Johnson, I still think, is that dude. I think the hate has gone too far for him. There's a lot of people that have just like completely written him off and act like that he is just a complete bust, and everybody's waiting to dunk on people that anybody who likes Quentin Johnson.
Yeah, the thing that's odd for me too is if you're paying attention to NFL mock drafts, like, he's been sliding at like, and I don't know. I mean, there has to be something going on behind the scenes that we don't know, that he's all of a sudden sliding, right? Because for a while, like, him at 12 to Houston was like one of the more like popular mock picks. And now all of a sudden it's, you're not seeing him in the first round, some of these NFL mocks. There must be something going on. It's just really odd that we haven't heard, anything off the field wise, any type of character issues, anything like that, medical, just one of those weird things. And I think that's what is giving the haters their juice to go out and do that, right? To start, talking about Johnson like he's just going to be an absolute bust. I do think he's a little bit more boom bust, but I also think it just kind of speaks to this class in general, man. If you were to tell me that Quentin Johnson was, the best wide receiver from this class, I'm not going to fight you on that. Like, I don't have any issue believing that. And also, if you told me that, he was not really thought of in terms of fantasy 3 years from now, I would believe that as well. But I do like what he brings to the table. I think he moves really well for a dude that's his size. Not a super crazy route tree. He wasn't asked to do a ton of different things. You did see him work all levels of the field, which you like, inside, outside, both left and right side. You saw him move around there as well. I think he has pretty good agility for, again, for a dude his size. He's able to kind of snap off his routes and create that separation pretty quickly. I'm just really interested to see where he ends up being drafted and what kind of capital he gets and where he ends up landing. But I think because of his size and movement skills, I think he does have one of the higher ceilings in this class for sure.
Yeah, I think you could see teams like fall in love with all those other things that he does. Like, right, I think there are definitely teams that feel like if they can develop him and turn him a little bit more into a bully at, you know, at the catch point. I mean, don't get me wrong, he certainly has some like highlight reel contested catches, but it just didn't happen often enough for me. But overall, like I said, I still love Quentin Johnson, and I'm not going to just, you know, follow the herd mentality of, oh, I'm just going to knock him way down my board because, you know, people have problems with him. Like, I'm going to hold steady, but I will admit that there's definitely that range of possibility that he does turn into a bust. Like, I think it's definitely there, but I also think that there's the other side of it too, that people don't talk about, that he could end up just exploding and kind of figuring it out and getting the right system and be utilized correctly. So I do think there's a lot to love with him, but I think there's also those other things that definitely should still be mentioned with Quentin Johnston. Next up for me, I have Zay Flowers at three.
Let's go.
I went back and forth between him and Jordan Addison. I know some people are going to say we're too low on Jordan Addison. If you have Jordan Addison, I have Jordan Addison at four. Me too. So we're the same there. And so, I've seen like Dale Jeremiah has Jordan Addison as his ninth overall player of the entire class, not just wide receivers, the entire class, right? And sometimes you have to take note of that because guys like Daniel Jeremiah are very, very connected with a lot of this stuff. And maybe there are – I wouldn't be surprised if there are definitely teams that love Jordan Addison. I think there's a lot to like with Jordan Addison. But with Zay Flowers, 5'9", 182, came in a little bit bigger than I think people were expecting, put on all that muscle mass. If his numbers aren't like eye popping or anything like that, you know, in 2022 and 12 games, 78 catches, 130 targets, 1,077 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns with a 29% target share. And analytically, he's certainly not a guy that I would say checks a lot of boxes either. But when you watch him, I mean, his short area quickness might be the best in this class. Excellent burst. I think he has more than enough speed. I mean, he's just electric off the line. He is an absolute technician as a route runner as well. He's gained the comps of Antonio Brown. I'm like, do we always have to go the highest? Like, we're like, Antonio Brown is a Hall of Famer, like first route ballot Hall of Famer. Okay. But with Zay Flowers, I still think that he's a very fun prospect. Obviously the college, you know, system that he came from, a Boston College, is certainly not anything to get excited about. The quarterback play there was horrendous. But I still think Zay Flowers, like, you get him on the right system, even though he's 5'9", but, you know, he is 182, so he's pretty jacked up. I think that he can kind of be that dude, maybe like a Steve Smith type. Now, again, I'm going like, you know, somebody that's very, you know, one of the better wide receivers that we've ever seen. But, you know, overall, I still think Zay Flowers is a lot of fun. And I think that he could be a guy that could be that. I don't think that he's going to be like that wide receiver one type, but I think he can be a very strong, like, wide receiver.
Yeah, and I honestly think that's kind of what we're looking at with this entire class, right? Like, not a lot of guys who, like even JSN, like, he could be a one if he gets the volume, but, like, that remains to be seen. I think he could command that volume as well, but if he lands somewhere that has an alpha, you know what I mean, I think that could potentially present some problems depending on the offensive scheme and everything else where he lands. But, yeah, man, with Zay Flowers, he's a fun watch. I have him above Jordan Addison. And, like, I have, like, this tier of four guys here that are, like, small, shifty, probably slot receivers at the next level. So I kind of – it's really close between him and Addison for me. I just have Flowers ahead right now because I think he is a more versatile offensive piece. Like, Addison – I don't think that's – I mean, I don't know. Actually, I'm going to take that back. I think it's a little crazy that Daniel Jeremiah has him as the ninth overall player on his board. I think Addison is a better route runner, like more nuanced than Zay Flowers. But you saw Zay everywhere. You saw him inside, outside. You saw him, you know, both sides of the line. You saw him used on every level of the field. Yeah, Addison did get some, you know, some sweeps and some handoffs like that, but I think Flowers was probably better with them for me. You know, being a smaller wide receiver, he does not shy away from contact. I watched Quentin Johnson first, And then I watched Zay Flowers after that. And Zay Flowers was getting after it more as a blocker. Now, obviously, we don't care about blocking and for fantasy purposes. But I saw Zay Flowers like getting after it more and, you know, kind of trying to being more aggressive with it than Quentin Johnson did. He obviously has, what, 7 inches and, you know, 30 pounds on him. So definitely not afraid to get in there and mix it up. The AB comps are, that's like you said, why do we have to do that? I think in terms of like stylistically, like the way that I, you know, was what I was kind of reminded of when I was watching him play was Debo, just in terms of, you know, how he looked with the ball in his hands. Then I was like, man, I think Debo's a little bit bigger, but let me go 30 pounds. Debo has 30 pounds on Zay Flowers. So again, that's why I have him ahead of Addison, just because I think he is less like landing spot dependent, less scheme dependent. I think he's just a more overall versatile piece.
I think with Zay Flowers as well, I think I definitely think there's a range possibility that he'd go in the first, but I also wouldn't be shocked if he was like an early second. And I kind of feel the same way about Jordan Addison, though I will say that I take notice that anything Daniel Jeremiah, because he's one of those people that are very, very connected. And him having him there may not necessarily be where he feels, but he's probably heard enough from people to where that he feels like that this guy could go much earlier than we're all expecting. And I've heard some talk that people have said that it's possible Jordan Addison could be the first wide receiver that comes off the board. That seems a little wild to me, but, you know, I think that, you know, I think some of the stigma, I guess, with the smaller wide receivers, right? Because for the longest time, it was these small wide receivers can't make it in the NFL. And I think that's changed, right? We've seen even guys like Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle or Hollywood Brown and Jahan Dotson that you know, have found success in the NFL, even at a smaller size. Obviously, Devonta Smith could be in there, but he's obviously much taller, but he is still was at that 170 range, where a lot of these guys, that's where these guys live. You know, Jordan Addison, 170 pounds. The thing with Jordan Addison that he just doesn't like wow me in anything that he does. I think he's great at what he does. I think that he is a very solid route runner. I think that he is a great slot wide receiver. I think he could develop, but maybe he is more Amon-Ra St. Brown than he is anything, which would be great, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown this year is coming off the board as like a top 12 wide receiver in fantasy drafts, right? Like he's been great, but I think he needs to land in that spot where like he did, right? Where, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown landed where he was kind of the guy. Because if he's not, like, I think that this could be something that, it, you know, takes him a little bit more time to really, you know, come out. Because athletically, Jordan Addison looks terrible. Like, he has a 18th percentile speed score, a 37th percentile burst score. But that's okay if you can win, you know, in the short intermediate route stuff, you know, win from the slot. So, you know, and it's really kind of a tale of two seasons. But I will say to start this season, you know, he recorded a touchdown or 100 yards receiving in 6 of his first 7 games. Then he suffered an ankle injury and that kind of derailed the season a little bit for him. But his, you know, his 2021 at Pitt was obviously much better. But he also had more, but he had 100 receptions, almost 1,600 receiving yards and 17 touchdowns there at Pitt. And then he goes to USC and he had 59 receptions for 875 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns with a 16% target share. But that makes a lot of sense, right? Because he went from a 16% target share to from a 26%, almost 27% in Pitt that he received. But I just kind of look at him and I'm just like, okay, I think he can be good. But, like, is he going to be anything more than, like, a Jameson Crowder type, right? Where he's going to have some games where he's good, but maybe he's never elite. I don't know. I guess he just doesn't do anything. He doesn't really wow me in any way. And so it's just kind of like, I'm going to throw him here. I'm sure there's other people. I know there's people that have him as the number 2 wide receiver for them. I just can't get him that high. I think the ceiling is much higher for JSN, Quentin Johnson, and Zay Flowers than it is for Jordan Addison. That's kind of where I come in on.
Yeah, I think he could be a Keenan Allen type, right? Like if he's getting fed those type of targets, because Keenan Allen, you know, obviously bigger than Jordan Addison, but it's not like he was some you know, athletic freak in his own right whenever he came out of Cal, you know, a few years ago. And same thing with Jarvis Landry. It's all just going to – I feel like a broken record at this point, but it's all just going to come down to volume. It's going to depend on where these guys land and if they can get the needed volume, especially in PPR leagues, to be able to offset some of their limitations in terms of, you know, not necessarily being field stretchers, not necessarily being red zone threats. But I think the reason why he like doesn't wow you is just because he's so smooth. Smooth in everything he does. That would I prefer that he didn't test as poorly as he did? Absolutely. Like you're not gonna have anyone be like, oh, well, you know, I prefer these guys that have 18th percentile speed scores at their size. No one's gonna say that. But for me, again, that's just not how he won. You know what I mean? He wasn't burning past guys and, you know, catching balls 30, 40 yards downfield. So with what he did and how he produced at college, it really doesn't bother me. So, like I said, the only reason why I have him down here at four technically is just because I think that Flowers is just a little bit more versatile. That's all.
So let me ask you then, is Josh Downs your number five?
Is he your five?
Yes. So right now we're just lockstep. Okay. So why don't let's do this. So we don't have to go, because like I like Josh Downs, but Josh Downs again, another slot guy, 5'9", 171, was really productive each of the last two seasons at North Carolina. I think he is a dynamic, explosive athlete. Run after the catch ability is definitely there. He's not another smooth route runner. But I also think that he's much more of a, I mean, some of his contested catches, I think he had one of the highest contested catch rate in this entire class, which for a guy his size is pretty impressive. He kind of has that my ball mentality. So for me, that's kind of where I pegged him into five. But that's, I mean, I don't really have a whole lot else to say after that. Like I said, just another really, really good route runner, another really solid slot wide receiver, somebody that I do think that he can run on the outside, has a great breakout age, 19.1 breakout age, which is 87th percentile, something else that you really want to see. So I just think Josh Downs is a really fun player, and, you know, if landing in the right system, especially in a, you know, a much more pass heavy offense, I think Josh Downs could, you know, really make an impact.
Yeah, and also a 97th percentile target share and a 70th percentile college dominator to go along with that. So if analytical profiles your jam, Josh Downs should definitely be someone that you're looking at.
Yeah, okay. So that's our top five. We're identical, which is funny because we had never talked about this. But no. I'm hoping this is where we're going to get different. So lay on me, who is your number six?
Let's do it this way. On the count of three, let's say our six.
Okay.
One, two, three. Marvin Jayden Mims.
Reed. Let's go.
Right, here we go. All right.
All right. I got Jayden Reed. You go. You tell me about Marvin. Because I actually had Marvin Mims a little higher. But I have two wide. Actually, I have Marvin Mims at eight. So I'm a little bit lower on Marvin Mims. But tell me about Marvin Mims.
I just really don't understand the lack of talk and the lack of chatter surrounding Marvin Mims. I mean, all the dude has done is just been a steady producer. Now, his numbers aren't eye-popping in terms of his production, but broke out as a true freshman. I think sub-19-year-old breakout age, I think, puts him like 95th, 97th percentile, something like that. You know, we also have to remember the situation that he was at in Oklahoma. It seemed like, you know, Spencer Rattler was going to be the truth. He was going to be the man. And then that started to fall off. Caleb Williams, you know, jumped in as a true freshman, took that job, and then he bounced. So that, you know, he went through different coaching staffs, different coordinators, different quarterbacks. As far as, you know, one of these other smaller receivers goes, he went out and did well at the combine too. Now, obviously, being, you know, a buck 80 and running a 4.48 is I think what he ran, not mind-boggling, not something that's absolutely crazy, but in terms of some of these guys, you know, like Jordan Addison obviously did better than he did in the 40 and some of the testing. I think Josh Downs was somewhere around the same area, but the dude's just extremely explosive. He is one of these guys who can stretch the field, unlike some of the other guys I have in this tier with the smaller type of slot receivers. So I think he's really good in terms of being able to create those explosive plays. He does struggle with play strength a bit, you know, similar to Jordan Addison. You'll kind of see him bullied around, especially on the outside, kind of getting pushed off of his, especially on vertical routes. You'll kind of just see him just squeeze to the sideline, but that's to be expected, right, at his size. But definitely offers more juice and ability to stretch the field. So Marvin Mims, really with all these guys, man, just like super, super curious where they end up going in the draft. But I think he's someone who could surprise some people. And I'm definitely going to be targeting him in the second round of all of my rookie drafts.
Yeah, I like Marvin Mims. And I think he has been a little bit overlooked. Because like I said, I did have him a little bit higher, but like these other two wide receivers that I have ahead of him started to kind of grow on me more and more. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to drop him on the table. I'm just going to go with it. And so I do like Marvin Mims. I think there's a lot to like with him. I think at the very least, he could be a really solid deep threat in the next level, that vertical ability. I mean, he has some really solid speed, 4.38 40, which is 91st percentile burst score as well. There's a lot to like with Marvin Mims. So it's definitely nothing that I have against him. But, you know, when it comes to Jaden Reed, he's somebody that has been gaining a lot of buzz. They're there for a while. I think it's kind of died off a little bit. But I think with him, like 5'11", 191, he is a little bit older. He is almost 23 years old, come from Michigan State. But, again, another player that doesn't really check a lot of the boxes analytically. But if you turn him on and you see what he's able to do, I think he's a very fun player to watch. His run after the catch ability is very special. Short area quickness is excellent. And I think one of the things that you really love to see is his ability that he was utilized on special teams. That is something that correlates very well at the next level in the NFL. He's going to be able to get on the field early, even if it's just as a punt or a kick returner as well. But I think Jaden Reed, I think he's somebody that people are going to be a little bit surprised. I think he goes in the second round. I think pretty solidly, I think he could go there in the second round. So I do like Jaden Reed quite a bit out of Michigan State. I think he is a very special player. And the other guy that I have ahead of him, I'll just go ahead and say it, is Jonathan Mingo from Ole Miss, who I have at 7. I love Jonathan Mingo, 6'1", 226. Like, that's the guy I was talking about. Like, Jonathan Mingo is everything we wish that Quentin Johnston could be. Because this guy is a hyper-athlete. Excellent burst. He's built like a running back. And I think he got better as a route runner. A little bit of a late bloomer. I've heard a lot of people try to compare him to A.J. Brown, mainly because he went to Ole Miss. You know, I think those things are a little bit unfair. He doesn't really have that level of production. But I will say in 2021, it looked like he was headed for a breakout. His first two games of the season, he had over 100-plus yards in 2021. He got hurt. Which ended up kind of derailing his season last year. Possibly he comes out, last year instead of this year. This past year, he had 51 receptions, 861 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns. But I think he's somebody that is a very special player, super, super athlete as well, with a 96th percentile speed score, 91st percentile burst, 6'1", 226. And so I definitely think NFL teams are going to fall in love with his ability to be able to do these things. And so I think, again, another guy that I think he is locked in to be a day two pick. May not go in the second, but I definitely think third round is definitely in the range of possibilities for him. And so that's why I have Jaden Reed and Jonathan Mingo both in those spots. But, I have Marvin Mims at 8. But I love Jonathan Mingo, what he brings to the table. He is still a little bit raw. He's going to take probably a little bit of time to develop. But I think if he can, I think he could be a very special player at the next level.
Yeah, you're not alone either. He's kind of been one of the buzzier, like, sleeper names. So you're definitely not alone on that. I have – now, this is actually someone we had talked about. This player specifically, because you kind of asked me where I had him because, you felt you might have been too low on him. I end up moving him up from where I previously told you, Kev. So I apologize for lying to you ahead of time. But that is going to be Jalin Hyatt coming in next for me after Marvin Mims. And this more or less just had this for me. This has more to do with like just wanting to find someone that might have a little bit more pop in this class. You know what I mean? Like we've been talking about, a lot of like wide receiver twos, and I don't think Hyatt's going to be a wide receiver one by any means, but I think because of his ability to stretch the field, his speed is legit. The fact that this dude ran a 4.4 and everyone just like, 4.4, that's it. Ugh. Like people were disappointed in the fact that he ran a 4.4 flat. There was, there were some rumors circulating that he could possibly crack 4.2 and be a high 4.2 guy. Obviously, that did not come to fruition, but With Hyatt, I think 83% of his 83% of his snaps did come from the slot. So he's one of those, you know, vertical slot type guys. Again, that's just a lot of what the, this class is. But someone who I think could provide, you know, a little bit more boom bust on a week to week basis. I don't necessarily think he's going to be someone that, you know, we are consistently relying upon, but he could be that hammer, could be that guy who ends up winning you a week or losing you a week for that matter. But I really do like his ability as a field stretcher. Obviously only has like the one real year of production at Tennessee, but you know, if he lands at the right place with the right quarterback, I think it could be a lot of good things, a lot of fantasy goodness for our teams. And I'm sure he's going to be someone who you guys are talking about on the DFS show quite a bit.
Yeah, with me, with him, it's just like I just think he's kind of one-dimensional. And, like, I really struggle with the offense that he came from because, like, when you watch.
It's fair.
There is fucking nobody ever around him. Like, he is just like people just like, we're not worried about Jalen Hyatt. Like, we're not even worried about it. Like, it's just wild how just absolutely wide open he is so often. Like, but don't get me wrong. Like, it's not so much the production that it was just the 1 year. We have other guys in this class that really only had 1 year production. It's just I worry that he is not a good route runner and that he's going to get typecasted into strictly a deep threat at the next level. And, like, does he become – like, and like I also feel like that he is somebody that it could end up falling down the draft. It could end up being, like, a third or fourth round pick. Which isn't necessarily the end of the world, but I just think that he has to go to the right team in the right system. Because if he were to go somewhere that doesn't have a quarterback that can utilize him correctly or a system that's going to utilize him correctly, like I just don't know what to expect. So that's why I have Jalen Hyatt at 12, and maybe I'm lower on him than the consensus, but I'm just not all that excited about him. I actually think the next wide receiver that I have on my list is somebody that I would rather have than him.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That does have the juice, and that's Trey Palmer, who I have at 9. 6 foot, 192 pounds, a 46 percentile college dominator for him, 32% target share. He did break out late, 21.4 breakout EGK from LSU, transferred from there, but who ran a 4.33 40, 88th percentile speed score, you know, transferred to Nebraska, 71 catches, 1,043 receiving yards, and 9 touchdowns. He also checks the box analytically. He was 6th in yards per route run, 12 deep catches. I think he has obviously excellent speed, huge wingspan. He did return two touchdowns in college, which, again, we talked about. That is something we definitely want to see from a player. So I really like Trey Palmer. The only thing that worries me about him is his ability to catch the football, because he does have a career 13.8% drop rate, which is not good. Obviously, you have to be able to catch
the football. Could be important.
Yeah, as a wide receiver.
It could be important.
But that's also why I have him at wide receiver 9 and not higher. Because I think everything else that he does, it looks really good. He kind of almost looks like a little bit like a Christian Watson type, right? That's kind of what Christian Watson was a super athlete, but you had a lot of question marks about everything else. And that's kind of how I feel about Trey Palmer, who transferred from LSU. So I really like Trey Palmer. I actually went back and forth with him and Cedric Tillman about having him at 9. I have Cedric Tillman at 10. We can talk about him in a minute. But Who do you have next up?
Kayshawn Butte.
Oh, no. And, So go ahead and say what you're going to say. All I'm going to say is this. I have Kayshawn at wide receiver 20. That's where I got him.
I get it.
Go ahead. Because I will just say this. You say it, and I'll say why I have him so low.
I get it. I absolutely get it. But again, in this class where everything is kind of just like, I don't know. Like, if he can somehow regain his form from his freshman year, we were talking about a true freshman breakout. While everyone else had their panties in a bunch, you included, about this other LSU receiver and Terrace Marshall. He ended up putting up similar. He had half the touchdowns, but in his true freshman year, same amount of receptions, basically the same yards, only 5 touchdowns to Terrace Marshall's 10. But looked like he was going to be like the next great LSU wide receiver. Just played the part, looked the part. You know, his second year, he comes out, has 9 receiving touchdowns in 6 games. Obviously, that was the COVID shortened year there. And then everything just kind of fell off, man. He ended up being outproduced by, I think, 2 other wide receivers this past year at LSU. Didn't really take that next step forward. Ended up having almost the same amount of yards in 2022 as in 2021, although he played 5 more games. Obviously, he has this wild, wild off-the-field thing that if that did not come to light, I think he is going back to LSU for his 4th year. But in this class where I'm searching for something to be excited about, Kayshawn Butte, again, holding on to the past here, absolutely no idea what to expect from him in terms of his draft capital. He also came in like much smaller than I was expecting, ended up coming in at 5'11", almost 200 pounds though. So he is a bigger wide receiver. Not a great athletic profile, to put it lightly. Ran a 4.5, which is whatever, but that does give him a 47th percentile speed score, a 2nd percentile burst score with his jumps. I mean, you're literally talking about 300-pound offensive and defensive linemen that had better vertical and broad jumps than Butte did. 33rd percent agility score, but again, just holding on to what was in terms of his freshman year, started looking like he was on the same track his sophomore year as well. And like it all started to unravel very quickly, but has way more to do for me with this class, and kind of just, if he can get back to what that was. Now, that's obviously a complete unknown. If he ends up as a day 3 pick, I'm not going to be holding on to hope and, kind of keeping him here as a late day 3 pick. I'll definitely move him down after that. But right now, we need hope, and I'm hanging my hat on the hope of Butte.
Whoa, living on a prayer.
Absolutely.
It's just, you pretty much said it, right? Like the athletic stuff. Like, and I'm not so concerned about the 40 and all that stuff. But like, and I do think that we overvalue sometimes and overstate athleticism, especially for a wide receiver. But can you be that unathletic? Like, it's just like, I was like, when I saw, I'm like, oh my God. And then he doubled down and did his pro day, and it was just as bad. Like, if you can't beat it, why are you doing it? Like
no home cooking there.
The agent gave him no, like, it was like, the agent should be fired. Like, and now you, like, if anything, he probably should have went back. He should have went back to LSU, or he should have just not tested.
Couldn't do that.
Yeah, he did. He started, but then you also just have this question: like, does he have that drive? Like, does he have that? Does he want? Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you see it. You saw the flashes. Like, there's that ability in there somewhere. But can he end up turning into being that guy? I don't know. And so, like, for me, like, I just, with everything that's happened, with I'm just out, right? Like, and I know, like, this, he produced at a young age, but it's just, there's nothing there to get me overly excited about him. And so, like, I just kept every wide receiver. I just like, okay, I'd rather have this guy. And 20 is probably too low, okay? But it was more so of just like, I don't really know where to put him. And so I just kind of kept, you know, I was like, oh, I'd rather have this guy. So that's kind of where it got for me to have him at 20. Is that too low? Probably. But I also think it's definitely possible he's like a 6th, 7th round pick. I don't know if NFL teams are going to fall in love with him. And if that's the case, it is what it is. And so, like, that's what, like, the other guys that have, like, Cedric Tillman, he was my, I believe, wide receiver 10. Like, there's certainly question marks with him, but he is one of the, you know, in that mold of that bigger wide receiver, 6'3", 213. He is older, just turned 23 years old, but he has produced. Now, this year he was hurt, played in only 6 games this past year, still 417 and 3. 2021, he had over 1,000 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns. I think there's a lot to like with him, 79th percentile speed score, 79th percentile burst score for Cedric Tillman. I think teams are going to really like his size. I think he can be that prototypical X outside wide receiver. And so, you know, I do like Cedric Tillman, maybe a little bit of like Alshon Jeffrey type of, you know, ability to his game. And so, you know, I do like Cedric Tillman, and he's another guy that, that I think that we've started to see some of the people that really have sources, you know, on the next level, that are, you know, really plugged in, have said people are way too low on Cedric Tillman compared to why the NFL looks at these guys and say that Cedric Tillman is likely a 2nd-round pick. And I don't think that really surprises me. If he is, somebody I'll probably move up a little bit higher. That's kind of what we're waiting on, and see some of this capital and some of these landing spots. Though I will say wide receiver landing spot is not nearly as important as it is for a running back, so it shouldn't be weighted the same. But Cedric Tillman and I think Rashee Rice were really hard for me. Both of those guys are two guys that I kind of like, you know, ahead of Jalen Hyatt. But I think both those guys, kind of similar type of players. Obviously, Rashee Rice came from SMU, Rashee Rice, somebody that was great in terms of contested catches in this class, 16 contested catches, which was 8th most among all wide receivers last year. You know, very, very good in short and intermediate routes, contested catch situation, excellent body control. But he does tend to allow corners to kind of get his hands all over him at times. He doesn't do a very good job at times of selling his routes. And he kind of lacks that top end speed. But again, don't really care about that as much for a wide receiver. But I think both of those guys are kind of interesting prospects, Tillman and Rashee Rice, depending on landing spots. And that's kind of where I have those guys. Just, man, with Kayshawn, I can't do it. Like, I just won't let myself. So who do you have at 10 then? Was that Butte?
No, Butte was 8. I have Jordan Reed. Jalen Reed at 9. And then, you know, you obviously talked about him. I don't need to go into any more detail with Reed. And then I have Xavier Hutchinson at 10.
Okay. So talk to me about Xavier Hutchinson, because I think he's kind of an interesting name too that I don't think a lot of people give a lot of credence to.
Yeah, I think he's just, you know, kind of how you were saying with Jordan Addison, like you watch him and like it's like, oh, okay, like, yeah, like doesn't really do anything exciting. I think Hutchinson is just one of the most consistent wide receivers in this class, just all around really solid, no holes to his game. He's, you know, thankfully one of a bigger body dude, I think 6'2", 203, what he came in at the combine, you know, really good ball skills. If you want to talk about one of the things that does stand out, it's definitely that his ability to kind of just pluck balls out of the sky, his body control, all those sort of things he's really good at. And he's also been, you know, where his consistency comes from is just with his time at Iowa State. You know, nothing eye-popping, you know, only 4, 5, and 6 touchdowns from 2020 to 2022. But got more involved, got more opportunity, and put up more numbers. And you saw that improve year after year. Went 64 for 771 and 4 in 2020, 83 for 987 and 5. And then in this last year, 107 for 1171 and 6. So, again, just that consistent year-over-year growth. Ended up, you know, his targets really jumped up this past year. I think he had, like, over 150 I believe in 2022, I think he was a JUCO transfer as well. So he's a little bit on the older side, not as old as old man Cedric Tillman, was just like such a fitting name for him. Just seems like that's a name that a 75-year-old would have, and that's I'm pretty sure he's not far off from that. Just has a solid profile all around. Nothing that stands out, you know, a ton in terms of his athletic profile. 65th percent speed score, which is fine. Burst and agility score below the 50th percentile, but his college dominator 69th percentile, 97th percentile college target share, and a 55th percentile breakout age. So just solid across the board. One of these other guys I think could slide into round three.
Yeah. I think a few other guys that I think that could definitely reach that. I think there seems to be like a Tyler Scott hive around that people just love Tyler Scott. And you see, I never fails when someone posts their rankings and they don't have Tyler Scott listed like among their top 12. You see people like, where's Tyler Scott? Like, why? Like I think Tyler Scott could be a good NFL wide receiver. Maybe people are – so there's certain people that are a little bit too low on him. Coming from Cincinnati, 5'11", 185. He checks a lot of boxes athletically. You know, he ran that 4.4, but he also has 95th percentile burst score. But he doesn't really have a whole lot of production in his career either. He did have almost 900 yards and 9 touchdowns this past year, at Cincinnati. But I think he's definitely a player that I could see going in like the top 3 rounds. I also think A.T. Perry from Wake Forest could also be that guy, another one of their bigger body wide receivers, 6'3", 195. He has 72nd percentile speed score, a 74th percentile burst score, and, was productive. I mean, has over 1,000 yards each of the last two seasons. In 2021, he had 1,300 receiving yards and 15 touchdowns. And last year, he had almost 1,100 receiving yards and 11 touchdowns. So I think there's a lot to like with him as well. And he could be a guy that I think some of us are a little bit – some people are a little bit too low on. So I think he could check that box as well, somebody that could maybe go a little bit higher. I've heard a lot of people talk about Puka Nacau as well as somebody that people that really like as well. But overall, this is something that I wanted to ask you about this class, that I think that there's a definite range of possibility that this class ends up looking like the quarterbacks last year, where they fall much later than what we all thought they were going to, right? Because last year it was like, okay, it was Malik Willis, right? Oh, Malik Willis, everyone was talking about being like a top 10, top 15, even in just a first round pick, right? And all these guys fell, and it was like, oh man, oh shit. Like it was just Kenny Pickett that went in the first, and everybody else went in what, the third and after? Like, I'm not saying that I think that only like one wide receiver is going to be drafted in the first round, but I think it's definitely a range of possibility that maybe only like two wide receivers go in the first. And then, a lot of these guys start to fall a little bit later than what people were expecting. I think that some of these guys that people really love could go later than they're expected. There's some of these other players that I think could go higher. If you look at last year's class, like Tyquan Thornton, right? I was like, what the fuck? Patriot? But it was the Patriots too. But like how he went higher than George Pickens. Went higher than Sky Moore, who a lot of people liked. But I just think with this class, like, do you feel like that there could be some shock and, with maybe these wide receivers fall much later than what we think?
Yeah, 100%. I haven't seen it. It's been so crazy with all the rumors, especially surrounding the quarterbacks, and now with, Houston potentially not taking a QB at 2 like everyone was thinking. I haven't seen any markets for wide receivers to be taken in the first round, but like, I don't know, man, that is one that I would not be putting my money on. Like, especially now with, like we were talking about with Quentin Johnson falling and kind of getting pushed out of the first round. I mean, Zay Flowers is starting to get that buzz, and he's kind of been lifted up to kind of like the back end of the first round. But it kind of just looks like JSN is the only one I feel comfortable saying like is like a lock for the first round. I think it's possible Addison, Quentin Johnson, Zay Flowers kind of make their way in there. And Jahan Dotson was a little bit of a surprise last year as well with as high as he went. But yeah, man, it just seems like we're gonna see a lot of these guys fall. Hopefully that means for fantasy purposes anyway, that we're going to see a run on them, day two, kind of make that more exciting for all of us. But there's just there's not a ton of exciting guys, and it seems like, you know, kind of with the quarterback class this year as well, it just seems like there are a lot of question marks, or at least the, you know, some limitations surrounding these guys. One of the guys that I think could potentially surprise people, because all it takes is one team, like Tyquan Thornton last year, would be Bryce Ford Wheaton out of WVU. Now, he didn't crack 500 receiving yards until his junior season. But if you want to talk about somebody with athleticism, 6'4", 220, ran a sub 4'4", 40, and then did fantastic in the jumps as well. Agility drills didn't do great on. He's going to be a little bit older. He's already 23 years old. But, you know, if you're looking for someone who could end up, you know, being a little bit of a surprise. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to go day two by any means, but I think, you know, with the kind of like lackluster, especially with the size athleticism guys, you know, outside of, you know, Quentin Johnson, I know Mango tested pretty well, but we really don't have these athletic freaks how we normally do, and all it takes is one team. So I think he's an interesting name to at least like jot down at the bottom of your rankings and to keep in mind on draft night.
I think lastly, I think Tank Dell, we didn't talk about him, but like he's so hard he's the quintessential like small player, right? He's obviously a little bit smaller, 5'8", 165, came from Houston, but man, like if you want to watch some Tank Dell, like he definitely produced, right? I mean, at Houston in 2021, 1,300 receiving yards, 12 touchdowns, 2022, almost 1,400 receiving yards and 17 touchdowns. And like, you just watch, like nobody can cover this guy. Like he is he is almost impossible to guard. But he is 5'8", 165. And it just makes it really hard to love or like him, because it's like, we've seen these small, like Tutu Atwell, right? Like, but then again, Tutu Atwell went in the second round, right? Now he's done absolutely nothing in the NFL. Like, I can't think of, like, even, like a play that comes up, like, okay, maybe he had one moment. Like, he's done nothing. So it makes it really hard to trust him, like, Tank Dell. But I would be surprised if a team loves him and you know, took him a little bit higher as well. So I just think there's a ton of variance with this class overall. Like, we could end up – because I remember a few years ago with the running backs, I remember pretty much everybody's just shit all over the running backs. And there ended up being, like, three or four, you know, really solid wide running backs. A lot like last year, I guess. That's kind of how this wide receiver class feels. Because it was all comparison of the year, you know, the years prior to, like, oh, you know, like Breece Hall. Like, oh, Breece Hall, he's not Jonathan Taylor. And there's not all these other running backs that are great. Well, you know, you look at last year's class and you had Breece Hall. You had, you know, Kenneth Walker that a lot of people were kind of all over the place with. That, I mean, in redraft leagues was going like the 10th round. And then, you know, we saw all these other guys that were much later, like Tyler Algier and Isaiah Pacheco come from that class. And Damian Pierce, like there's a lot of other running backs that came from that class that, you know, overall, I think a lot of people hated the running back class last year. So while I think a lot of people don't love this wide receiver class, I wouldn't shock me if three or four guys really emerge as being like solid fantasy contributors on your roster. But I think that, you know, just in mind that there's a lot of variance with this class the way that I do.
Yeah, I think we're going to have, I do think we end up getting, you know, a bunch of contributors, but I think if you're looking for a stud out of this class, and if, you know, you've been taking the advice for what seems like the past 4 years in a row where you were just selling everything away to gather up, you know, rookie draft picks in this class, I think you're going to be a little mistaken, and, you know, maybe you might as well just kick that can down the road one more year. I don't think outside of you know, Bijan, there's really anyone that's coming to the rescue for your dynasty teams. But I do think we get some contributors. I do think we have some solid, you know, back end wide receiver two, wide receiver three types. But there's definitely the stud and excitement factor missing from the class.
Yeah, just wait till next year until Marvin Harrison Jr. comes out, right? Like, isn't that the? But I still go back to this. I feel like that's what everybody was saying about JSN at this time last year. It was like, just wait till JSN next year. Like, a lot of people love JSN. And then it's just, then that kind of changed, right? And so overall, like, yes, next year's class sounds like a lot of fun because you have like Caleb Williams, Drake May from UNC. So you have him. And like I said, Marvin Harrison's in this upcoming class. There's a lot of good running backs. So overall, again, I don't think this class is like special in any way, but I think there's definitely going to be some players that come from this. And,
yeah,
you know, so we, like I said, we say it every year. Who knows? There's going to be some other players that we're not even talking about, right? Because nobody was talking about Anthony Richardson as possibly being a top 10 draft pick in the NFL, you know, this time last year. And now here we are. There's always these players that emerge. Like heading into last year, everybody was all over Will Levis, loved Will Levis. Everybody fucking hates Will Levis now. Like everyone just calls him a bum and he's terrible. And, you know, but he's probably going to be drafted with the top 15 picks of the NFL draft. And, you know, we'll see if people can turn him around. And, you know, we got people out here, you know, falling in love with Bryce Young, who's 5'7 and 160, you know, that's going to play quarterback. People now, instead of just, you know, comparing him to quarterbacks, we're comparing him to NBA players, which super weird. I didn't, you know, I don't know where this trend's coming from, but yeah, people are saying that he, you know, he could be like the Steph Curry. And I'm like, okay. I don't know what that really means, but, you know, he's going to have to be a complete outlier. And I think he's a wasted pick by Carolina. I don't know. I'm not as high on Bryce Young as everybody else is, but I think if he was more athletic, maybe I would like him a little bit more. But if you are a non-athletic, 5'10", maybe 5'10", you know, 190, 195 quarterback, like it really worries me at the next level, right? Because Kyler Murray is completely different. Kyler Murray has the athletic ability to be able to escape the pocket, make plays. I don't know if Bryce Young has that ability, and that's what worries me. C.J. Stroud seems a little bit more safe and with a little bit more ceiling, especially if you look at what he did again, like the Georgia game and stuff like that, was just special. And so I don't know. I just think this class will be fun. I am looking forward to next week with the NFL draft to come, just because, you know, it's a fun time of the year, kind of see where all these guys land, see where everybody ends up. You know, so I really am very, very curious to see where Bijan goes. It sounds like he's probably not going to fall out of the top 20. And so, which will be fun to see. I think Jahmyr Gibbs could go back half first or early second. So I think there's a lot of players that I'm just kind of excited to see where they end up.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we can finally start putting landing spots with these guys, and, you know, kind of really, really nail down our rankings. So we'll definitely have version 3 of these post NFL draft, and then before we know it, man, redraft season will be here.
Let's go. It's all right around the corner. I'm telling you, it creeps up on you all the time. You know, we'll have all the offseason stuff for the NFL, and then, you know, it'll be training camps in July. I mean, we're already over halfway through April. We're almost to May. And so, I mean, once it's ready to May, I mean, you got like 2.5 months and training camp starts again. So, yeah, NFL season will be here before we know it. NFL draft next week. So let's keep it locked here. I appreciate everybody checking out the show. Be sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to this from. And, you know, leave a rating and review if you're listening to this on podcast. We appreciate it. We'll be back again. I think we're going to try to fit in one more mock before Superflex mock before the NFL draft, so we kind of get a better idea of landing spot before it does happen. So keep it locked in here. We will see you guys on the next one. Bye.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.